Hello and welcome to this exclusive interview with the head of the Iraqi National Congress, Dr. Ahmed Chalabi. Thanks for this opportunity, first of all. I'd like to ask you, now we have elections coming up and we have an upsurge, unprecedented, or since 2006, in violence. Are the two connected?
As you say, we are in the process of conducting a major parliamentary elections in Iraq, which will set the course of the country for the coming 4 years. The upsurge of in violence is connected to the elections in a way contrary to what people think. The violence erupted in Iraq now because the government went and attacked the area of demonstrations, the demonstrators, who were there for a year, shouting slogans and demanding various, voicing various grievances. The fact that they were attacked, it was like lancing a cancerous cell. The violence erupted. And the expectation was that the government would be able to quell the violence in the city of Fallujah and control the city of Ramadi and generally control the Anbar province. However, unfortunately, this expectation did not take place, and now we are towards the end of the fourth month of fighting over there. And rather than take the city of Fallujah and control Ramadi, the terrorists and their allies have taken the fight to the governorate of Baghdad. Mm-hmm. They, as we speak, they are 15 kilometers from this area. They are fighting. They have in a place called Ibrahim bin Ali, which is near Shu'la, which is near here. Now, this is the reason. And I think that the continuation of the violence has demonstrated that it's very difficult to resolve political issues through fighting.
How was it connected then to the elections?
Well, the idea was that the government would defeat the terrorists quickly and would present itself as the defender of Baghdad and the security of Baghdad. That's why I say it's connected in an unexpected way.
Uh-huh. But what you mentioned about the protesters and the campaign or the use of violence against protesters, on the other hand, the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki says that these were terrorists and there were people from the ISIL, Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, Al-Qaeda, and so it was necessary to confront these terrorists. What would you say in response?
I say in response to that, I don't dispute what he said. However, they were contained in the demonstrations. They've been there. I mean, the government has known that they have been there for the past year. It's not a secret. They've said it many times before. But why choose this moment before the elections to attack this the demonstrators? There was no immediate threat from the demonstrators. The threat is bigger now. My point is that there was no necessity to attack the demonstrators at this specific time. And the fact that the attack came got the people in areas in the Anbar coalesced together to confront the government. This is not a good idea. I mean, I would rather have another year of demonstrators than a week of fighting in which inconclusive, a stalemate, which the Iraqi army is not winning.
Okay, but you did mention that there is, in the end, these extremists do exist in Iraq.
Not only do they exist, but you see, if you create for them an environment in which people would tolerate them, that's the danger.
Okay, but what's behind their presence? Is it the fact that what is going on in neighboring Syria? Is it the policies of some regional countries? What's behind their existence?
The Daesh, which is the Islamic State of Iraq and Bilad al-Sham, is an organization which is an organization which reflects the groupings inside Iraq and Syria of Islamic extremists. this group is not under the influence of a foreign country. They deal with them. However, for example, their financing is not autonomous. They rely on collection. In Mosul, the city of Mosul, for example, they, through collection, extortion really, from businesses and doctors and pharmacies, they collect $15 million a month. Mm-hmm. In Syria, they control almost all the oil fields that were producing in Syria. They produce maybe now 80,000 barrels of oil a day. You can imagine the value of this oil in the market. Mm-hmm. So their financing is almost autonomous, and they do what they want. For example, they're fighting the other Qaeda group, al-Nusra, in Syria. So they have this access across the border between Iraq and Syria, and they try to get the support of the tribes, and they also have money. Furthermore, they are highly trained, and the policies of the Western countries and Turkey in supporting the Syrian opposition and providing them with sophisticated weapons in the north, many of those weapons in the end landed in the hands of these people. For example, they are in possession of advanced anti-tank rockets with Ukrainian origins.
In Iraq?
Yes, they have them in Iraq. And they've used them against the Iraqi 9th Division. So they use the fact that they have influence in Syria, they can get weapons from Syria, advanced weapons, plus money, and the fact that the government attacked the demonstrators, alienating many of the people of Anbar, we had the bombardment of the cities, which is unwise. It was an unwise move. They were able to insert themselves into the cities of Ramadi and Fallujah. Initially, they were not welcome, but with the continual bombardment and the lack of success in actually taking control of the territory of the cities, they managed to attract some support, and people, they started paying salaries, so many people volunteered on their side. Their numbers are not that many. Mm-hmm. We have to understand that. I mean, the best estimates for the foreign fighters of Daesh, who are either not only foreign fighters, but who are Iraqi recruits and foreign fighters, well-trained, ranges, the upper limit that has been mentioned is 2,500 people, and the lower limit is 1,500 people.
But from what I understood from what you said is that the policies pursued by Turkey and especially Western countries actually were not aware of the repercussions, because to face it, the U.S. doesn't want Al-Qaeda to return to Iraq, but it was presumably unaware of the repercussions of its policy in Syria and giving this file to countries like Turkey. So is this a way of American carelessness resulting in Iraq?
This is the consequence, the unintended consequences. Look, life does not imitate art. The people who are planning the insurgency in Syria, who are supporting it, wanted life to imitate art. They made a construct in their mind, the moderate opposition fighters. And we want to supply weapons to the moderate opposition. Well, in fact, the only people who can fight the Syrian army are the extremists. Mm-hmm. It's clear, demonstrated now. Mm-hmm. And despite all the media effort to produce evidence that the moderate opposition are successful in fighting the Syrian forces of the government, Syrian government, it is clear that the only people who are effective in fighting the Syrian government are the extremists, Islamic extremists. So they would supply weapons to people at the border. Once the weapons are inside Syria, those people will take over the weapons. Mm-hmm. So in order to keep, there's a contradiction between keeping the Syrian civil war going on and trying to prevent Al-Qaeda and associated groups to come into Iraq. There is a contradiction between these two policies. Which do you want to prevail? Trying to manage them by saying that I will only supply the moderate opposition is not a viable policy, because the moderate opposition cannot withstand the pressure of the extremists in Syria.
In other words, Iraq has fallen a victim to a wrong strategy.
Clearly, of course, this is one of the consequences of this. You see, the thing is that the idea was that the Iraqi armed forces, supplied by the United States, supposedly trained by the United States, could defeat those people quickly in Iraq if they came. Mm-hmm. That turned out to be false. Turned out to be false for one of the reasons that it turned out to be false was that these extremists, Daesh, were able to acquire weapons and have controlled territory in Syria, in Raqqa, which is next to Iraq, and controlled the oil fields, which provided fighters with the resources and the training and the weapons to come and do this cycle of violence in Iraq. I don't believe that they can be successful in Baghdad and the city. The people of Baghdad will defend it. But the point is, it's not the army that will defend it, it's the people. Mm. We don't want any more fighting, we don't want any sectarian fighting. One of the most important things is that we must have is this, we must have civil peace in Iraq. That relying on groups of militias to fight other militias in Iraq is not a prescription for civil peace.
Okay, I'd also like to refer to, I know that you've met the U.S. ambassador a few times lately. What was the main essence of the message you could tell us the Americans are giving, particularly the war on terrorism?
The Americans, my impression from the meetings was the following. First of all, the United States is concerned about the developments with terrorists having a base or having areas inside Iraq and being able to carry out operations of terrorism which would disturb the government and the society. They were also, they made it clear that they don't support any personality or any list in the elections. Mm-hmm. And that they are not, they want to make this clear to people that they don't support anyone. And they don't support, they rely on the election results in Iraq for the formation of the government.
Did you get the impression that there was an American